This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، لا سيما المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. I begin by praising Allah, the Almighty alone, the all worthy of praise, and sending the best peace and blessings upon his most beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, wallahi indeed it's a great pleasure for me to visit your beautiful masjid and this beautiful community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record this gathering for us to benefit us on the day of judgment. Since we love each other and one another for his sake, so may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala love us as we loved each other for his sake. Allahumma ameen. I'd like to begin this very interesting topic with a story that is narrated in a hadith collected by Imam al-Bukhari. May Allah have mercy on him. Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, said, once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and myself were leaving from the masjid, and there came a Bedouin who asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying, O Prophet of Allah, when is the day of judgment? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered him with a question. He said, what have you prepared for it? He said, Ya Rasulullah, I have not done much of prayers, fasting, or charity other than the fact that I love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be in the company of those whom you love. You will be in the company of those whom you love. You love Allah, you love His Messenger, you will be in their company on the Day of Judgment. You will see salvation and you will be saved and you shall enter heaven and you shall get to see Allah the Almighty because of loving Him. You shall be resurrected and gathered in the company of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the quality of loving Him. Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, said, later on, we have never heard any better news since we accepted Islam, better than this news in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered the Bedouin saying, "Anta ma'a man ahbabt," you will be in the company of those whom you love. In fact, brothers and sisters, it's easy for anyone to claim that he loves Allah and he loves His Messenger and he wants to be with the Messenger of Allah in paradise, but it is hard to prove it. Anas ibn Malik said after he heard this statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by Allah, I love Allah and I love His Messenger. I love Abu Bakr and I love Umar. And I hope to be gathered with them in paradise, even though I cannot compete with them with regards to good deeds. But there is a big difference between competing and trying to be good and do good deeds, and between being numb, doing nothing, but still claim that you love Allah and you love the Messenger of Allah and you want to be saved and you want to enter paradise and you want your sins to be forgiven. Many people say, I know that Allah will forgive me my sins. Why? Can you give me a sign? Can you show me a proof? Did you even ask for forgiveness? Did you request Allah to forgive you your sins? An American sister once brought her son to me, and she wanted me to speak to him because he won't pray. He won't practice the basics of the deen. But meanwhile, he's very optimistic that he shall enter paradise. As I was talking to him, he interrupted me and he said, "Ya Sheikh, I know very well how to enter heaven. Don't worry about me." I said, "Why don't you share with us your informations? Perhaps it can help us to be saved too, even without praying, without fasting, without doing anything. I mean, you still can have a girlfriend and you can drink, you don't pray, but you still enter paradise. How?" He said, "Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say in the hadith that man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illa Allah dakhala al-jannah? Whosoever's last statement before death will be la ilaha illa Allah. He shall enter paradise." I said, "That is absolutely true. It's a sound hadith. Whoever says la ilaha illa Allah Muhammadur Rasulullah before his death shall enter paradise." He said, "Well, this is what I'm planning on doing. Before I die, I'm going to say la ilaha illallah, then just enter paradise." I said, "I wish. You're dreaming. Do you think that any person can simply say la ilaha illallah whenever they want to? Whenever he desires? Do you think if you just say it, you will just enter paradise without fulfilling any of its conditions?" And that's why there are many people, not only in Islam, but also in other religions, who claim the same. "I love God. And furthermore, they have the guts to say, and God loves me." Well, you say, "I love God, I love Allah." It's a claim, but how do you know that Allah loves you? Today, inshallah, we shall answer these questions. One Sunday morning, I was returning from Fajr prayer in the States, and there is a white woman who stopped my car. She stopped in front of my car. Then she approached me. So when I lowered down the window, I said, "How can I help you?" She said, "Good morning." I said, "Good morning to you." "Yes." She said, "Jesus loves you." I said, "I love him too." What really matters is, whom does Jesus love? Whom does Muhammad love? Whom does Allah love? That is the question. Because you can daydream all day long, or your entire life, you love this girl, you want to marry her, but she's not even thinking about you. You're not even occupying a bit in her mind because you're not on the screen. A person can claim, "I love Allah," but he's not doing anything to prove this love, and accordingly, he does not gain Allah's love. As we're talking about loving Allah, the Quran also tells us about whom does Allah love. And that is the highest status. When you have Allah loving you, then automatically you're forgiven. Automatically you receive salvation and you have a place in the highest place in heaven, in Al-Firdaus Al-A'la. Why? Because He loves you. But this love doesn't come out of the blue without making any effort. Rather, let's go to the Quran and see whom does Allah love and who truly loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In ayah number 31 of the third chapter of the Quran, that is ayat Surah Al-Imran, Allah the Almighty says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ulama and the mufassirun, the commentators of the Quran, called this ayah, ayat l'ikhtibar, the ayah of the test. In this ayah, Allah ordered the Prophet to test the love of the believers. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Say, O Muhammad, صلى الله عليه وسلم, to the believers, to those who say that we love Allah, if you truly love Allah, not just mere claim, prove it. How? فَاتَّبِعُونِي. Then follow me, follow the Prophet, follow his guidance, follow his footsteps. If you do, يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. If you do follow me, then Allah will love you. And furthermore, will forgive you your sins. And they are relating to each other. Forgiveness and love. If Allah loves you, He will pardon you. If Allah loves you, He will forgive you all your sins. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah is the most forgiving, the most merciful. In the second chapter of the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, in ayah number 222, you're not going to forget this ayah, 222. Allah the Almighty says, by the end of the ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. The two concepts were mentioned together in this segment, love and forgiveness. Allah the Almighty says, verily, Allah loves whom? Loves whom? At-tawwabin. What is the meaning of at-tawwabin? I heard about tawbah, repentance. But what about tawwabin, plural of tawwab? And what is tawwab? It is an extensive form of ta'ib. Those who frequently repent. Those who repent on constant basis. And why would they repent on constant basis? Why? Because as human beings, this is our nature to sin on constant basis. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Oneself is inclined into evil except for those whom Allah will have mercy upon. This is an ayah of Surah Yusuf alayhi salam. And it was said by the first lady after she confessed her sin and she admitted that she tried to seduce Yusuf. She said, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. The human nature is inclined into sinning. Why the human nature is inclined into sinning? Because in the hadith, when Allah the Almighty expelled Satan out of heaven, when he refused to bow down to Adam, Satan said to Allah, I swear to your honor, I shall mislead them and continue to mislead them, continue to whisper to them to do evil as long as their souls are in their bodies. Oh, don't you think yourself secure at any moment? Don't you think yourself safe from the whispers of Satan or immune? La. When would one be safe and secure from the whispers of Satan? When you die. As long as you're alive, he has an access to whisper to you. Allah the Almighty replied to the threat of Satan by saying, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي. And I swear to my honor and majesty, I shall continue to forgive them their sins as long as they seek my forgiveness. So Satan is working 24/7. Him and his offspring and all the shayateen to mislead us. They do not take rest. When Al-Hasan al-Basri, may Allah have mercy on him, was asked, Ya Imam, does Satan sleep? Do you guys know whether the shaytan sleeps or not? His answer was very interesting. He says, I wish at least you could have taken a break at night. If he sleeps, he will give us a break from his whispers and trying to mislead us. But Satan is walking 24/7. As he said, وَلَأُضِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ وَلَآمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلَيُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. Non-stop to mislead us. So what is the solution? يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. Allah loves those who frequently repent, because we frequently sin. I saw on a billboard, again, in one of the streets in America, a sign in front of a place of worship that says, God loves the sinners. I looked at it and I paused. Then I smiled. I said, that can't be true. Why? Because this is a statement which is made by a human being. So it's imperfect. What do you mean God loves the sinners? So when I go and I drink, and I spend the night in a nightclub, then I pick up a girl, and we go home together, we commit adultery, that God loves me for that? When I steal, it's a sin. God loves the sinners. Oh, you mean that God loves the sinners, even though they sin, there is still a chance for them to be loved by God? You don't know how to phrase it right. You know why? Because you didn't read the Quran. The Quran rather says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves those who repent, not those who sin. So He loves you because you seek His forgiveness, you recognize your sin, you quit, and you beg Him to accept your repentance. That's why He loves you. He doesn't love you because you challenged Him with sins. He doesn't love you because you disobey Him. He doesn't love you because you break the rules. Even in our worldly life, whenever you run a red light, then a police officer chases you. He stops you. He turns a siren on and he stops you. Then he talks to you. What do you expect him to say? I love you. I'm very happy with you because you ran the red light. Thank you so much. You're a good citizen. No sane person says so. Rather, he issues you a fine. And you beg him. And you say, please, last time, I was in a hurry. I didn't pay attention. I was there. Sorry, next time. And he issues you a ticket. A fine. Right? So even with the common sense, logically, you break the rules, you're worthy of punishment. Allah the Almighty says in a state, that He loves those who repent. So they committed the sin. Because this is a human nature. At one point or another, the person gets weak, complies with his desire, with his whim, with his lust, with the whispers of Satan. Then he recognizes that he was at fault. So he turns to Allah with sincere repentance. Only then Allah loves him. Only then Allah the Almighty is very happy with him. Not because he committed the sin. Rather because he repented. And repented means he recognized his sin. He recognized that he disobeyed Allah the Almighty. And he quits. Because, ya ikhwani, if the person says, Astaghfirullah al-Azim, and he's still smoking, are you joking? Why are you saying astaghfirullah? Because I know smoking is bad. It kills. And that's a sin. But you're still smoking. Yeah, I know. You're having a date with a girl. And so long as you're sitting, astaghfirullah al-azim. Astaghfirullah al-azim. This kind of istighfar needs istighfar. Because you're joking. But istighfar is only when you quit the ma'asiyah. Then he recognizes it was bad. He sees. Then you ask Allah for forgiveness. These are the conditions of the sincere repentance, which will make you eligible for forgiveness, which will make your repentance accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When a thief is trying to break into somebody's house, and he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Why? Because you should not enter home without saying Bismillah. And after he cleans up the house and he picks up all the valuables, astaghfirullah al-azim, astaghfirullah al-azim. That makes no sense. That's a sin itself. This is ridiculous. So you have to quit the sin. Recognize how bad, how evil and heinous it is to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then seek His forgiveness in order to be forgiven. Love would hinder those who love Allah from sinning. Loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the quality of being immune. When Yusuf alayhi salam was tested with this huge test, when the first lady, who was a beauty queen, so she's got everything, beauty, wealth, and position. She adorned herself. She locked the doors one after another. Then she offered him herself. She said, "Hi'tu lak, I prepared myself for you. Huyi'tu lak, hi'ta lak," different dialects. "I'm all yours." And she invited him to do fahisha, to commit adultery with her. When Yusuf alayhi salam is a young man, he was not a prophet then, he's got all the means of committing the sin, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. Why? He said, "Innahu min ibadina al-mukhlasin," because he is one of our chosen servants. When Satan promised that "I shall mislead them all," he recognized that this is not gonna happen. He said, "Illa ibadaka minhumul mukhlasin." I shall mislead them all except some of your servants who are mukhlasin, chosen. What is the difference between mukhlasin and mukhlasin? Mukhlas and mukhlas. Mukhlas means sincere. Sincere in his love to Allah, sincere in his worship, in his or hers. While mukhlas means chosen by Allah. Allah chosen to be immune, to be devout worshipper. Satan cannot do anything with such people. In order to reach this status, brothers and sisters, we need to clarify the signs of love. How do I know that Allah loves me? How do I know that my claim is true and I truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are very simple practices. Let me ask you this. When you go to sleep, when you lie down on your bed, what is the last thing that you say? Is it "Bismika Allahumma amutu wa ahya"? Is it "Bismika Allahumma wada'tu janbi wa bika arfa'u"? You mention the name of Allah, you recite the adhkar. The last thing you experience when you're awake is the name of Allah and celebrating His praise. You go to sleep in His name, yes, that's a sign that you love Him. Then, when you get up from your sleep, what is the last word that you utter? What is the first word that you utter? Huh? Alhamdulillahilladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. That's a sign you truly love Allah and you're eligible for His love. When you went to sleep, the last thing you said was His name. When you got up, the first thing that you mentioned was His name. You thanked Him for giving you life. Not only that, in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever flips over at night gets alert. Sometimes you have to get up to answer the call of nature, to go to the bathroom. Then you're walking asleep. You answer the call of nature and you go crushing your bed again. You can see. But if you truly love Allah in this condition, when you're three quarters asleep, you say, "Subhanallah, والحمد لله والله أكبر لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير اللهم اغفر لي Oh Allah, forgive me my sins. All your sins will be forgiven. Simply because of saying, Oh, forgive me. Why? Because you said that dua after mentioning and celebrating the praise of Allah in a condition where you were absent-minded. When you were half asleep. When you were not aware of anything, but you were aware of Allah's presence. You love Allah to the point that you mention in His name while asleep. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِذَا دَعَى Then if he was to make any dua, his dua would be certainly answered. Because you ask Allah for something to be fulfilled in this condition. In what condition? When you are three quarters asleep. SubhanAllah. So these are some of the signs. Whenever you're tested with any test, you perfectly understand that whatever befalls us is from Allah. Can anything happen to us without His leave? Huh? Can you have a flat tire without His permission? Can you get in a car collision without His permission? Can you fall ill without His leave? Can you be cured without his leave? No. مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ سورة الحديد. Anything that befalls you, anything that takes place on earth or within yourselves, it was preordained in a book before even it was created. 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Only the believers recognize that. So when this happens, and then they're afflicted with any calamity, a little one or a huge one, they recognize this is from Allah. So they are patient. That's a sign that you love Allah. And that's a sign that Allah loves you. And that's a sign that your sins will be forgiven. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٍ How excellent, how impressive is the case of the believer. He's always in goodness, in either condition. If some good happens to him, if your son passed the test, if your daughter got married, if your wife just conceived, if you receive the new baby, you're happy, you're celebrating. And when you celebrate that, the first thing you do is you do what? Alhamdulillah, my son graduated. Alhamdulillah, my wife is pregnant. Alhamdulillah, my daughter is engaged. Alhamdulillah, I got promoted at work. So for any gain, for any good luck, for anything good happens to you, what do you say? You thank him. It is from him. What about if one is tested? وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ If he's tested with a calamity, huge or a little one, he observes this calamity patiently. And that too is good for him. And none but the believer behaves like that.
وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون
Give good news and glad tidings to the patient ones whom whenever they're afflicted with a calamity They say, we all belong to Allah. And unto Him we shall return. For them, there is forgiveness and mercy and a blessing from the Lord. And such people are the truly guided ones. May Allah make us amongst them. So you're remembering Allah. Allah is in your heart, in your mind 24/7. Whenever you're happy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prescribed one sajda, which is known as sajda to shukr. Once you hear good news,
You fall down in prostration, even if it is not facing the Qibla. Even if you do not have wudu, because this is not a prayer. This is a sign of appreciation. You prostrate yourself, you thank Allah the Almighty in this sajda, upon hearing good news. And if you're afflicted with a calamity, it is prescribed to say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I want to share with you a very interesting story, brothers and sisters. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this dua, that whenever you're afflicted with a calamity, any calamity, any test or trial, you should say this dua, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We all belong to Allah, and unto Him we shall return. And say another beautiful dua. Which is, Oh Allah, reward me for my patience on this test, on this calamity, and give me better than what I lost. When you say this dua, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no matter whatever is your loss, Allah will replace it to you with something better. يعني, if I damage my car in a car collision, if somebody hits my car, or I accidentally hit my car, then I say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Oh Allah, give me better than what I lost. Allah will give me better than my car, most definitely. Most definitely. One of the women of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the name Ummu Salama, radiyallahu anha, her husband was a great companion, Abu Salama, taught her this dua, and he said, we heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, whoever says this dua, upon afflicted with a calamity, Allah will give him better than what he have lost. Then Abu Salama himself died. So Ummu Salama, who loved him most, she said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. She lost her husband. After the battle of Uhud, he was martyred. May Allah be pleased with him. And then she remembered what her husband taught her, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you say this dua, Allah will give you better. She said, and who would be better than Abu Salama? Who will be better than Abu Salama, even if I say the dua? Then she said, I was debating myself, and I said, since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you say this dua, I still said it. And I don't know who could be better than Abu Salama. 4 months and 10 days, the waiting period for a widow. 4 months and 10 days. Once they were over, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam proposed to her, to marry her. Better than Abu Salama or not? Huh? Better than the whole world or not? Ummu Salama was an older woman and with a bunch of kids. But all of that was not an obstacle, because Allah the Almighty decided to give her better than Abu Salama, even though he's a great companion and hopefully he's in Jannah, he's a shaheed. But she trusted Allah so much. She said, Oh Allah, give me better than what I lost and reward me for my patience upon my calamity. Isn't this a sign that this woman truly loved Allah and His Messenger? Immediate compliance. When you say to somebody, be patient, say, leave me alone. Okay, I'm going to leave you alone. I'm sorry. Do not be patient. You hit your car. If you jump up and down and you say all the bad words, would that fix your car? That takes you back a couple hours before the accident, so you take another route? No. When one loses his son, your only son, then Allah chooses him to die. That happens. I have been waiting for 13 years. It took us a lot of time and a lot of money for my wife to conceive. And now he is 13 or 14 or 15 who just graduated on the day of his graduation. This is very harsh. Don't say that. I'm just giving you an example of how severe could be the test. Your only son, my only son, and Allah chooses to take his soul. Allah the Almighty calls the angel of death and said, did you take the soul of my servant's son? The sweetness of his heart, the comfort of his eyes. He said, yes, Ya Allah. Allah will ask the angel, and he knows best. How was his reaction? What did he do? What did he say? So the angel would say, Ya Rabbi, hamadaka wastarja. He said, Alhamdulillah. He said, thank you, Allah. Allah takes your son and you say, Alhamdulillah. Allah tests you and you say, thank you, Allah. Yeah, because you love him. And you know that he has better for you, which you do not know, but you trust him. حَمَدَكَ وَاسْتَرْجَعَ اسْتَرْجَعَ يعني he said, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Not only my son, myself, my wife, and the whole world are going back to Allah, whether today or tomorrow. We all belong to Allah, and unto him we shall return. That is the meaning of حَمَدَكَ وَاسْتَرْجَعَ. Allah the Almighty immediately will order the angels, أَبْنُوا لِعَبِدِي بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَسَمُّوهُ بَيْتَ الْحَمْدِ. Build a house in paradise for my servant who is patient, who said Alhamdulillah, who said Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, when he took the soul of his son, and name it Bayt al-Hamd, the house of praise. وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى. I had a French genius engineer, an atheist. He visited me because his friends wanted me to talk to him about Islam, and he knew what he was coming for. I asked him whether he was born an atheist. He said, of course not. We were very conservative Catholic and so on. I said, so what happened? He said, I lost my little sister. When my little sister died, my mother and I decided that we're not going to worship God anymore. He doesn't deserve worship. Because what he did to us was very cruel. He took away my little sister. So we decided not to believe in God. Oh, so you were punishing God. Really? You're punishing God. And after you punished him, did your sister come back to life? Did that make your life any better? No. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this behavior is only for a believer. No one can behave like that. Whenever he's happy, whenever good things happen to him, he's thankful to Allah. And whenever he's tested with a calamity, he is thankful and patient. No one can behave like that, but the true believers. These are all signs that you truly love Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. How you treat the believers is a sign that Allah loves you or not. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah the Almighty says, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. The people whom Allah loves, and they love, mutual love. يُحِبُّهُمْ, he loves them. يُحِبُّونَهُ, and they love him. That is the ultimate love. To love Allah and to have Allah loving you. The qualities of such people, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They're kind towards the believers. They're soft in treating their fellow Muslims. They're merciful. They're humble before them. While against others, they're stern. But what is happening in most cases when we see Muslims fighting against each other while they are befriending their enemies? Is this a sign that Allah loves them? Of course not. When we start killing each other, attacking each other, that's a sign that there is no love whatsoever. That even Allah does not love this community. No matter how much they claim that they love Allah, but it is not true. regularly observing what Allah loves is a sign of loving Allah, as a sign that Allah loves you, and as a sign that Allah forgives your sins. What a game, such as in the hadith, Allah the Almighty says, that's a sacred hadith. How much time do we have? So we still have? Okay. In the hadith, Allah the Almighty says, nothing that my servant can do in order to come near to me better than fulfilling what I have ordained upon him. Alhamdulillah, you pray dhuhr in jama'ah, you pray asr in jama'ah, you pray the prayers. That's a sign that you love Allah. Then he says furthermore, and my servant will continue to draw nearer to me through offering the supererogatory acts of worship. Nawafil. What is not mandatory, voluntary acts of worship. Like what? The prayer has certain voluntary prayers. Fasting has certain fasting, voluntary. And Hajj and Umrah and charity likewise. So praying before and after the prayers, these are nawafil, supererogatory. You don't have to do it. But when you do it, you draw nearer to Allah. You come closer to Allah. That's a sign that you love Allah. And in return, Allah will love you. My servant will continue to draw near to me through an-nawaf. You fast on Mondays and Thursdays. You fast 3 days of every month, 13th, 14th, and 15th. You fast on the 10th of Muharram, that is Ashura. And on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, that is the day of Arafah. These are all voluntary fasting. You know your zakah, sometimes you don't have to give zakah because you're poor, but you're giving in a charity, voluntarily. And a person's zakah is 20,000, so he gives 40,000, 60,000. In addition to all year round, he gives more and more. He gives a certain percentage of his profit, 10, 20, 30, or even 50%. These are all signs that this person truly loves Allah. My servant will continue to draw near to me through offering an-nawafil until I love him. What do I get when Allah loves me? And once Allah loves him, he says in the sacred hadith, and when I love him, I become his sight with which he sees, his hearing with which he hears, his hand, his feet, his legs. What does it mean? It means that your faculties of senses would not look into, or listen to, or do anything, or walk towards anything other than what Allah loves. We struggle to lower our gaze. When you see a beautiful woman, every ordinary human being has a temptation or a desire to look. But Allah doesn't love that. Allah wants you to lower your gaze. When women see a man in a pair of shorts and jogging, and you're ordered to lower your gaze, it's against my desire. When Allah becomes your sight will automatically do what Allah loves, without any struggle. You know, if any ordinary person was invited to share bed with a beauty queen, who's a powerful woman, and the world's richest woman, he may not even think about it twice. When a girl winks at him in the train or in the bus, they start chatting. Very, very, very weak. And the challenge is very irresistible. But when the person's eyesight is controlled by Allah, hearing is guarded by Allah, he would find it very easy not to resent, to drop it. This is trash. Allah doesn't like it. I don't like it. It is not that I'm having a struggle within myself. Shall I look or not? Shall I do or not? People sitting in a meeting talking backbiting and vain talk. He can't tolerate it. Why? Because his hearing is controlled by Allah. All of that happens simply because of offering an-nawafil. You know, when you're struggling and dragging your feet to pray the sunnah after dhuhr or the sunnah before fajr, that's a sign of weak iman. You're a believer, but very weak. Why? Whenever you do what Allah loves with joy and delight, that's a sign that Allah already loves you because you love what He loves. Can you imagine when the Prophet ﷺ says, رَكْعَتَا الْفَجْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا وَمَا فِيهَا. Subhanallah. The two rak'ahs nafl, the sunnah before fajr, if you pray them, they are better than the whole dunya, the whole world, and what it contains. And guess what? We're talking about the two nafl before fajr. So what about the fajr prayer itself? If you offer the fajr on time, if you offer it in jama'ah, and you go to the masjid, and if you pray the two nafila before the fajr prayer, you're a winner. You made your day. Allah loves you. For each footstep that you talk towards the masjid, it erases one of your sins. And it raises you into higher ranks. Not only that, in the sound hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, whenever a believer performs wudu, ablution, when you say Bismillah and you wash your hands, the sins fall off from between your hands. Every sin that your hand have committed would fall off from between your hands with the last drop of water. Then when you wash your face, rinse your mouth, sniff some water to clean up your nose, every sin was committed by your eyes, by your mouth, by your tongue, would fall off with the water of wudu. The water of wudu is not just to wash off impurities, dust and dirt, and to keep you neat and clean, but also it washes off sins. When you wash your feet, every sin that your feet walk towards will be forgiven with the water of wudu or with the last drop of water of wudu. I can't do that every time. Yeah? That's why even though you can pray several prayers with the same wudu, but performing wudu on a regular basis is recommended. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, what do you think of a man whose house is by a running river? Ya salam. I have a few friends in America. You know, their houses, the front yard or the backyard is to the river, to the lake, or even to the ocean. Very beautiful, like a piece of heaven. Every day, they jump in the water 5 times. They swim and bath and dive. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you think this person whose house opens to the river and he bathes in the river 5 times a day would have any impurities, any smell, any sweat against his body? They said, of course not. He said, similarly, performing wudu and offering the 5 daily prayers erases sins on a regular basis. Allah loves us. Allah loves us and He wants us to be forgiven. And He's stretching out the hands of forgiveness for us, but for those who are interested. That's why the Prophet ﷺ, during the journey of Al-Isra wal Mi'raj, when he ascended to heaven, he heard the footsteps, the khashkhasha, the noise of the shoes, the sandals of Bilal ibn Rabah, may Allah be pleased with him. He came to Bilal and said, Ya Bilal, tell me, what kind of good deed that you do? I could hear your footsteps in heaven already. Even though he is still alive, but his seat was reserved. His property was booked in heaven. He said, I don't remember doing much other than the fact that every time I lose wudu, I rush to make a new wudu. So I maintain wudu all the time. As a quality. Al-wudu erases sins on regular basis. Offering the prayers erases sins on regular basis. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-salawatu al-khamsu, the 5 daily prayers. Wal-jumu'atu ila al-jumu'ah, and the time in between 2 jumu'ahs they offer. كانوا إلى رمضان and fasting and observing this Ramadan and the following Ramadan are all ransom and expiation for the sins which are committed in between. You pray, you commit sins. You come back to the prayer, the sins in between the two prayers are forgiven. Doesn't he love us? Doesn't he want us to be forgiven? This man who accepted Islam in Medina, before Islam he used to have a girlfriend. Before Islam he used to have a girlfriend. Before I finish this story, I just remember something I want to share with you. Because I love you for the sake of Allah, I want to share with you everything that is lovely and everything that I know that can benefit all of us, inshallah. When I just had a drink of water, I remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the sound hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْضَى عَنِ الْعَبِدِ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ الْأَكْلَةَ فَيَحْمَدَهُ عَلَيْهَا أَوْ يَشْرَبَ الشَّرْبَةَ فَيَحْمَدَهُ عَلَيْهَا. When you eat any food, when you drink any drink, lawful of course, then you say, Alhamdulillah, Allah is pleased with you. Allah is happy with you. Well, I can make Allah happy with me with every meal, with every bite, with every drink. How many times you drink every day? A lot, especially nowadays, it's hot and humid. We keep drinking. Make sure before you let the water to your mouth, you say, Bismillah. And when you finish, you say, Alhamdulillah. This is all from Allah. So Allah is happy with you. Allah is pleased with you. And that's a sign that you love Allah, and that's a sign that Allah loves you. Now, I was talking about a story before the water. Can you remind me with it? Before Islam, the Sahabi. MashaAllah, you're awake. That's a sign that you're still awake. You remember the story? This Sahabi, on his way to the masjid, his ex-girlfriend before Islam in Jahiliyyah met him in the street. Hey, how are you? Miss you. So he met with her, shook hands with her, one thing led to another, and he kissed her. And he just remembered, how could I ever do that? I'm a Muslim, I'm going to the masjid. So alhamdulillah, he didn't go any further. Then he ran to the masjid. It was Asr prayer. He prayed along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then after the prayer, he came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, purify me. He was under the impression that there is a punishment for that. He's got to be beaten, he's got to be whatever. Purify me. He said, what for? He said, I kissed the woman. I hugged the woman. Purify me. The Prophet ﷺ does not have in the Sharia a specific punishment for that. Yes, Allah is not happy, and that's a sin. But its punishment is not stated in the state, like to be punished, like drinking, like stealing, like committing adultery. The Prophet ﷺ did not tell him anything. Then Jibreel alayhi salam descended upon the Prophet ﷺ with this ayah of Surah Hud, saying, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين. The ayah means أقم الصلاة, establish the prayer. طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل, both ends of the day and some parts of the night. يعني offer the prayer on regular basis. Why? إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات, because the good deeds remove the bad ones, remit the sins, eliminate the evil. ذلك ذكرى للذاكرين. He said, where is the man who wanted to be purified? He came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, did you pray Asr with us? Did you pray Jama'ah with us? He said, yes. He said, then your sin have been forgiven. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, who was present at the time, said, Ya Rasulallah, would this ayah reveal exclusively for this man, for this incident, or is it general for all of us? It can benefit all of us. He said, rather, it is general for the entire ummah. Whenever you pray, it erases the sins which you committed. Allah loves us to be forgiven. Allah loves us to be saved. He wants to give us salvation. وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَن يَتُوبَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَيُرِيدُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Allah the Almighty wants you to repent so He can accept your repentance. While on the other hand, Satan and those who want you to follow the desire, they want you to deviate, a great deal of deviation. مَيْلًا عَظِيمًا. So what we learn from that, brothers and sisters, that alhamdulillah, for being rightly guided, for being Muslims, that's a sign that Allah chose you. Alhamdulillah for being in the masjid right now, that's a sign that Allah invited you. Out of millions of people, He invited you to visit His masjid. You didn't do that on your own because you're genius or you're very smart. Rather, it is a sign that Allah is pleased with you. He invited you to His place of worship. He invited you to perform Umrah. He invited you to perform Hajj. He enabled you to fast during the month of Ramadan. He gave you all this access to forgiveness because He loves you. Hold on this love. Try to maintain it. Keep in mind that since human nature is inclined into sinning, that we have to understand that we should repent on a regular basis. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, turn unto Allah with repentance. Because wallahi, I myself repent unto Allah every day more than 70 times. And in the hadith which is collected by Imam Muslim, 100 times. The Prophet ﷺ, did he need to say astaghfirullah? Did he commit any sins? Well, al-istighfar and repenting isn't only about committing sins. It's about not being able to perform everything that Allah wants us to do. It's a sign that you love Him and you know that He's the only one who grants forgiveness. وَمَن يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Who besides Allah forgives sins? None. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Subhanallah, in the sound hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shows us how much Allah the Almighty is happy whenever one of His servants repent, whenever he goes back unto Him with sincere repentance. In order to explain this hadith, I want you to imagine if you're traveling across the desert and you're driving Land Rover, very decent ride. Then all of a sudden, the car stopped, the engine stopped. You try to start it, it won't start. You were in safari. You got lost in the middle of the desert. You don't know what to do. You ran out of food and water, and that's it. You're certain that that's it. This is the end of it. Then all of a sudden, you see a helicopter looking for you and those who are lost. Or you try once again and the car starts and you manage to be saved. How happy and delighted you will be. I will be the happiest because it saved my life. Well, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah the Almighty is more happy, is happier whenever His servant repents unto Him and seeks for His forgiveness than a man who is traveling across the desert. His camel is loaded with the food and the drink. Then it ran off. He lost his camel. So he was certain that he's gonna buy. He rested under the shade of a tree, waiting for his destiny. Waiting just to die. And while he was lying down, he saw the robe of the camel hanging from her neck on top of his face. He picked it up. He got hold of the camel. And he was very happy that he's going to make it. He's saved. He's got back the food, the drink, and the ride. So out of joy and delight, out of happiness, he wanted to thank Allah. He said, "Oh Allah, thank you so much. You are indeed my servant, and I am your Lord." He erred. He made a mistake. A slow for done. Why? Because he was not himself. He couldn't believe that he would survive. Because of extreme happiness, he messed up. He said, "Oh Allah, you are my servant and I am your Lord." That shows you the extreme happiness this person was experiencing. Allah is much more happier than him whenever any of us say astaghfirullah or repent. Repent unto Allah and ask him to forgive us our sins. This is an opportunity. Allah the Almighty promised forgiveness and paradise for the righteous ones in Surah Al-Imran, and I end up with this ayah inshaAllah. Allah the Almighty says, I believe in ayah 135, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Race, all of you. No one is exempt. All the believers, race, where's what? No one makes it to heaven before being forgiven. إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ. Towards number one, مَغْفِرَةٍ. Then gardens as wide as the heavens and the earth. Heaven. Prepared for al-muttaqeen. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Who are al-muttaqeen? Who are eligible for forgiveness and al-jannah? They spend in prosperity and in adversity في سبيل الله. They suppress their anger. Then he says, والذين إذا فعلوا فاحشة أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن يغفر الذنوب إلا الله ولم يصروا على ما فعلوا وهم يعلمون. Whenever they commit a sin, whether it's big or low, minor sins, they remember Allah. So they turn unto Allah with repentance and they seek His forgiveness. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا. And they do not persist. يعني, the Shaykh keeps telling me that smoking is harmful, it is haram, drinking is this and that. And we insist on doing the same. That makes a small sin a major sin. They do not insist on committing the sin. For such people, Allah forgives them their sins and admits them into gardens of paradise as wide as the heavens and the earth. May Allah the Almighty make us all amongst them. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, we are the luckiest that we are Muslims. Most of people do not believe in Allah. The chosen people are the very minority. And most of Muslims, of the 1.6 Muslims, do not practice Islam. Most of Muslims do not even pray. And many of those who pray do not enter the masjid, they pray at home. So for us to be chosen from all mankind to be Muslims, and from all Muslims to pray and to pray in the masjid and to recognize repentance and forgiveness and the love of Allah and to struggle for it in order to gain it, that's a sign that Allah loves us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us His love and forgive us our sins, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whenever Allah loves somebody, He calls Jibreel and says, "Ya Jibreel, I love this person." So Jibreel would love him automatically. Then Jibreel would call upon the angels, the dwellers of heaven. Allah loves this person, so they all love him. ثُمَّ يُوضَعُ لَهُ الْقَبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You find even the non-believers say there is something special about this person. You love him at first. When you see him, you like him. It has nothing to do with the complexion. His exceedingly black complexion. She is very short, with a curly hair, it doesn't matter. But people love this person. Not because of the color, not because of the complexion, not because of the race, not because of the beauty, the blue eyes or the black eyes. Rather because there is a quality of love Allah instilled in this person. so people find comfort around him. By the end, brothers and sisters, I want to declare to you that wallahi, from the bottom of my heart, I love you all for the sake of Allah. And this is a quality. If we love one another for the sake of Allah, in return, Allah the Almighty would love us. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. اللهم ارزقنا حبك وحب من يحبك وحب كل عمل يقربنا من حبك. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبها جلها وصغيرها. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلمنا وما أنت أعلم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر، لا إله إلا أنت، أنت حسبنا ونعم الوكيل ونعم المولى ونعم النصير. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك، نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. جزاكم الله خيرا.